Hello and welcome to the Browns Blitz. Today is Wednesday, November 13th, and this is episode 27. We're doing this a little bit different because my first guest today flew over for the Browns Bills game and just got home. So we're recording his segment Wednesday morning. The other two segments I actually recorded Tuesday night, so we stuck with the Tuesday portion for part of this, but wrapping it up Wednesday, so it's kind of a Tuesday-Wednesday thing, but we're still trying to stick with that same format. But my first guest, I'm excited to bring in Steve Knight. Steve, it's great to talk to you. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Rod. Thank you very much for having me. Been home a few hours now, so it's been quite a long day, it's fair to say.
Now you're in England?
I am, yes. So I live about an hour and a quarter south of London.
Okay. And so you came over for the Bills game and then you flew home not long ago. So you just got home. So how did the weather have an effect on you getting out of Cleveland?
Yeah, we had a bit of snow, as you know, so that kind of held things up only for about for an hour or so. We were absolutely fine making connections going back. We actually left a few people behind from the UK, so they're taking in the Steelers game on Thursday as well, so there's a few people that travelled.
That's not a bad idea. Two games for the... Yeah. You know, and one trip, that's a pretty cool thing to do. So, hey, I'm glad to have you on the show. And, you know, we've kind of been having a little bit of an around the world flair here recently. Peter Jones has been on, you know, almost, he's been on every other week. And, we had, a guest on, from Australia last week, so people might think I'm only having people on from everywhere in the world, but it's just kind of the way it's worked out. So it's a lot of fun, but we're going to have some people on from the U.S. and Cleveland here coming up too. So, but before we kind of dive in, I want you to give your Twitter handle so that people can give you a follow and interact with you on Twitter.
Yep, sure. You can find me. I'm at World of Steve.
That's a cool handle too. I liked that when I was looking at it. So, well done.
Thanks. I was a bit of an early adopter on that one.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of football to talk about here. But before we do that, we normally talk about our Blitz beverages on the show. I'm actually going to lay low because I'm in the middle of my work day. So I'm on my lunch break right now, but it's 5 o'clock in England, and you're off this week, and you actually have a beer to talk about, I think, from your trip over here. I'm going to skip the fact that I'm drinking water altogether, and that I'll be back to work here in about an hour. And why don't you tell me about the beer that you experienced while you were over in Cleveland?
Yeah, I am in true form. It's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world, so I didn't think it was too bad to get into the beer discussion. Actually, what I had is, I think you probably had it as like a Halloween thing, but it was one of the Great Lakes, and it's like a ruby ale called Nosferatu, 8% ABV. Really, really nice. Really loved it. Had a few bottles over there in the fridge in the apartment. Although I have to confess now I'm back home, I'm actually on the wine and have a Sauvignon Blanc from Marlborough in New Zealand, which I would just strongly recommend in the region, to be quite honest. I realize that's a bit off topic, but the Nosferatu was absolutely awesome. Really enjoyed it.
Well, Great Lakes is, I like all Great Lakes. Really, I think it's just an outstanding brewery. So that's a fine choice. And there's no problem whatsoever with bringing up wine on this show. I have no issue with that. So it's Blitz Beverages. So I happen to be a beer drinker most of the time, but I like a glass of wine now and then too. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So So very nice. I'm glad you got to have a Great Lakes while or two while you were over. let's talk about your experience of being just at the Browns game. Is this the first Browns game, first NFL game you've been to, or have you been to other games?
It was the first game over in the USA that I've been to. I went to the Browns London game a couple of years ago against the Vikings. So it was my first victory, although on my second game, I think I probably got quite lucky, you know, within the last few years.
Yeah.
It was just an absolutely awesome experience from start to finish. I sort of can't stress how well looked after and how, you know, kind everyone was and how generous people were with their time and with their experience as well. It was really fantastic day.
What was the main difference in seeing the game in London compared to seeing a game here in Cleveland?
I think principally there's a concept of home and away support. You know, Buffalo travel quite well, but if you go to any NFL game, any of the London games, you see every jersey from every game all over the place. So the atmosphere is kind of it's very, very different. As opposed to being, a genuine home game. You find as well that kind of the discussions that you have are with people who've kind of got an intimate knowledge from the game, from playing it, as there's kind of more opportunities to play it, obviously, in the States as opposed to over here. So from that point of view, it's quite fascinating in terms of, you know, how much you can kind of learn more about the game. It's been a really great experience. Lucky enough as well to take a trip to Canton before I went, which again, just kind of, how much, you know, the history of the game and how it's so tied to Ohio and Cleveland, of course, as well.
That's great. I'm glad you got to do that. Yeah. That's definitely a cool thing to check out while you're in town. So let's talk about the game itself then and just your impressions. This was a good game. It was, there were some ups and downs for the Browns, but this was a good close game throughout. What were your takeaways? From being at the game, what were your feelings? Just give me a couple takeaways from what you saw.
Well, I think you already hit kind of the first one that I thought about, which is we played a close game and we won it, came out the other side of it, which was awesome in of itself. As you say, there were a lot of ups and downs. It was a bit of a journey, especially in that long drive towards the end, that 10-play drive. But ultimately, when I kind of look back and reflect on the game, you know, we were there in terms of more total yards, more rushing yards, time possession was slightly higher. It was close, but something was edging the score, really reflected the game. Also, I have to say, I'll probably have to get myself a Hollywood Higgins jersey as well, because he came back and seems to have a connection with Baker, scoring that touchdown at the end.
Yeah.
To go ahead. And the other thing as well that I was really quite impressed with, I liked seeing Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb on the field together. I thought that worked really well. I enjoyed seeing Hunt in the blocking game as well, because he was opening up holes for Nick Chubb as well. As you know, he caught a few, I think 7 of 9. And had a few runs as well. So seeing those two may be very excited as to what that can look like in the future when they're both lined up in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, from my perspective, I agree with everything you said. I thought it was really an excellent game by the Browns. I think, you know, the defense and holding the Bills to 16 points, when you do that, you've done your job. You've done enough for your team to win. And the running game was good. I loved everything that Kareem Hunt did. He was a complete player out there. You wouldn't have known that he hadn't played a game in a year. And, the Browns kept the penalties down. The issue was the red zone. The Browns, you know, couldn't punch the ball in as often as, you know, as they should with the guys they have. What was the atmosphere in the stadium like when the Browns had that stand, when they had that opportunity down at the 1 yard line and had what seemed like 25 plays in a row from the one, and they just couldn't get the ball?
It felt like we were going to have the wheels fall off and it kind of go like some of the other games have gone this season a bit. there was definitely quite a bit of dissension in the ranks. I think had it been a bit later on, people might have contemplated going because there was a few disgruntled people around. But just generally deflated, especially going for on fourth down and not making it as well. So to come away with no points whatsoever, it was, it was quite a low.
Yeah, I experienced the same thing. It was almost like it was almost like the Browns were behind at that point after that happened, and they were still up 6-0, I think, at that point in the game. Yeah. But you felt like they had taken a loss. I mean, just because of the momentum swing. So I mean, the place where I was watching, it was dead silent for quite a while after that. I don't think people knew what to make of it, because, you know, I think that people have seen enough of being down there fourth and goal at the one or the two and seeing the Browns pass the ball four straight times. Mm-hmm. We're like, why don't we give it to Nick Chubb? So we get down there and he runs the ball, eight straight times. And people didn't like that either. And I understand it was the way he ran the ball, you know, the plays that were called, but it's almost like Freddie can't win sometimes, but
no.
You know, so yeah, I really didn't care what kind of plays he called. I just wanted to see the ball get in the end zone.
Yes,
I'm glad they overcame that. I thought it showed a lot for the Browns to not let them, you know, to not let that get to them, to just stick with their game plan and you know, and just keep playing the game and just move on from it. They seemed very focused.
I agree. Yeah, and I think it was a performance that spoke a lot of character. I think you're absolutely right on that point. You know, based on the way that we dealt with things afterwards, as you say at that, you kind of felt the world was ending, but really did pick it up, especially towards the end, and also right at the end to hold them, you know, to that long field goal. It was a really kind of strong character performance. I think probably saw a bit more kind of development in the team from that kind of standpoint as well, because it's been a hard road the last, you know, few weeks.
Yeah, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but based on what you saw out of Chubb and Kareem Hunt in this game, what do you expect out of the two of them going forward?
Well, I think they'll only improve, and I just think that they'll create so much for everyone else. They seem to have formed quite a good relationship. Listen to the interviews afterwards, and you know, Kareem Hunt's, you know, bringing in Nick Chubb, and you know, he's quite selfless, you know, in the way he discusses blocking and things. So I think we'll be seeing a lot of them going forward. It's fair to say.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be a heavy emphasis on the run and mixing in Kareem Hunt probably more, and hopefully that'll open things up for them to take the shots with the passing game. It's hard to say. I mean, you have to use the talent of Hunt and Chubb. So I just think you have to do that. Those guys are just so good that as much as you want to give the shots to Landry and OBJ, I think you have to let Hunt and Chubb kind of be the engine now that runs this offense.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we already had sort of set up through Nick Chubb, but of course we've got the joy of having so many mouths to feed. Once we're back on the straight and narrow a bit more, there will be exactly those options and opening up for hopefully to sort of stretch things out for those guys.
Yeah. So let's we're kind of jumping fast here, but let's take a peek ahead to Thursday night. How do you feel about the Browns' chances Thursday, and what are you expecting?
Well, I mean, it's a very different Steelers team coming in on Thursday. I'm looking forward to watching it. It'll be on about sort of between 1:30, 1 in the morning UK time. I think we've got a bit of momentum behind us. As I say, it was a pretty gritty performance in the end Sunday. Mm-hmm. Steelers defense is pretty serious thing. I think there's probably people had a perception of the Steelers at the start of the season that I don't think necessarily played out. I think there were a few eyebrows raised, you know, when they traded for Fitzpatrick. But he's been completely balling out. And, you know, they've got TJ Watt and Dupree and people playing at a really high level. So I think it's going to be a bit of a low scorer, but I think it's one that we have every chance. It's not Big Ben walking in this time. And, you know, whether he plays in a role, not only from a talent standpoint, but just the fact that his record in First Energy is a pretty tough one to take.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I have to ask, with you being from England, how did you get to be a Browns fan?
It is, you know, to be honest, it's a pretty embarrassing story, and it's one I tell quite.
Are you willing to share it with us?
The Sunday, yes, absolutely. I've shared it with enough people now, and people take me a pretty good grace. It was probably about 10 years ago, and I watched the sport fairly loosely. There's free-to-air television in the UK, so I could watch the Super Bowl every year and the odd sort of game that might be showed. So I decided to just pick it, run with it for a season, and actually commit to a team. I've got family in other parts of the United States, and I've no ties to Cleveland whatsoever. So I took an internet quiz, what team should I support? And I just said, I'll run with them for a season. And if I enjoy the sport, then that's me for life. And if not, then it'll just be a wasted year of my life. So don't worry about. And I've got the Browns, who, funnily enough, are quite similar to my soccer team in terms of kind of their fan base is historically loyal. The club is kind of quite rich in history. It's had prolonged periods of no success. So I kind of got on board with sort of Brandon Whedon type time and enrolled in ever since. And
it's just kind of how it happened.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, well, everybody has a story. I mean, some of us are from Cleveland, but yeah, it's interesting how people get hooked up with sports teams. And for me, it's really not about how you get hooked up with them. It's the loyalty and sticking with your team and supporting your team through, you know, whatever happens.
And it's been great, you know, rolling with them. And I found as well, the more you kind of learn about the game, the more you find out how it's developed over the last 100 years, the more you see how sort of Cleveland's been at the heart of so many important parts of the game, in, you know, in a really positive sense, and sometimes not in the most positive sense as well. It's just a fascinating story and a fascinating place.
Yeah, I will agree with you there. So. All right, Steve, we have a couple minutes. Is there any other Browns topic you'd like to talk about?
Probably just, I think how grateful I was for the experience of being in Cleveland. We'd like to have sort of time to go about, see some people, meet some people that I've, you know, spoken to on Twitter and, you know, shared sort of Browns takes with and got to finally, you know, meet, share a beer with and have a kind of discussion about the game. I just loved every second I had in the city. It's a great place, and the people, as I say, couldn't have been wonderful enough to us. I was so happy. It was a shame to leave. It really was.
That's great. Do you are you hoping to make you know, future visits or anything planned at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing now. Currently, so probably not this season. It's a little bit of a logistical challenge. I'm preparing to try and make it running every season.
Hopefully, maybe next season or sometime in the future.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. As I said, it'll definitely be at the very least an annual event, and any of the London games, you know, if the Browns are over, I'll pick up. And just kind of take every opportunity I can if I can get back.
Well, that sounds good. All right. Well, Steve, it's been great talking to you. And again, everybody, you can follow Steve at World of Steve. That is so easy to remember. It just kind of flows, you know, right off. thanks for coming on, Steve. And Hope to talk to you again soon. And now going to welcome my brother Jeff onto the show. Jeff, how's it going today?
Well, Rod, it's going a lot better this week. Obviously, coming off a win, I feel like a guy who switched from brief to boxers. You know, all of a sudden I got a little bit of breathing room.
Just totally different feel, isn't it?
It is. It's nice. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of nitpicking going on out there about the game, and you know, it wasn't a thing of beauty. But you know, the important thing I think is that this team found a way to win. You know, there was some luck involved, and hey, I'm glad to have luck on our side for once. But you know, hopefully, getting a win takes some of the pressure off, and you know, the coaching staff and the players and the fans can all kind of take a breath and just get back to the business of doing their job.
Yeah, I agree with you. And speaking of doing your job, Freddie says that a lot. So,
right.
What do you make of that, Jeff?
Well, you know, all year long we've been hearing do your job, and the takeaways have been kind of whatever the problem was that particular week. You know, early in the season it was too many penalties, too many turnovers. Lately it's been, you know, not having success in the red zone. I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. And, you know, just haven't had a chance to think about it this week a little bit. I think doing your job is more about, you know, playing to the best of your capabilities, you know, contributing the best possible way you can to the team. But I think what we've seen from the players this year, call it underachieving, but really I think it might be something else. And I'll just give you a baseball analogy. You know, good hitters in baseball go into slumps, and yeah. You know, typically when a baseball player is in a slump, what do we say about that player? Everybody kind of says the same thing. He's trying to do too much.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, guys, instead of hitting the ball, you know, to the opposite field, he's trying to pull everything and hit home runs all the time. Right. So I think some of that plays into what's going on with this team right now is, you know, they haven't really learned how to win. You've got a lot of young players on this roster that are learning what it means to be a professional. I think some of our veterans and team leaders are having a hard time figuring out how to lead. Let me just give you an example. And Jarvis had a great game. 9 catches, 97 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
great game, by any measure. I mean, great game. But the taunt, okay, on the first touchdown pass, you know, you and I talked back and forth during the game that, oh, that missing that point could be important later, right? Well,
you know, unfortunately, yeah.
Oh yeah.
It almost always comes back to haunt.
Yeah. You miss an extra point, you miss a field goal. It almost always comes back to bite you. Right. Yeah. And fortunately for us, Hushka, is that how you say his name? Missed
something
two field
like
goals for them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, if he makes one or the other of those two field goals, we're tied. We're going into overtime. Mm-hmm. Whereas if Jarvis doesn't get the taunt, we're a point up, and it changes the whole dynamic at the end of the game. Right.
Right.
And you know, you can say what you want about whether that was a good call, bad call. But the bottom line is I think Jarvis has to be smarter than that. What really disturbed me about it was I read about his comments after the game where he said he would do the same thing. Okay. He said, I'm in there getting guys fired up. And, you know, that's just part of our game. We need to motivate each other. And from my perspective, Jarvis, that's not your job. Okay, that's the coach's job. You know, you're not out there to fire up your teammates. You're out there to go out and get 9 catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Okay, that should be enough. Right? That's doing your job, not trying to do too much. You know, play to the best of your capabilities and don't hurt the team. Right? So, I mean, I thought Baker had a great game. He had his highest quarterback rating of the season. Nick Chubb had another great game. It was kind of strange. You know, he got 100 some yards, but most of it came between the 20s. So I think, you know, the team is still figuring out that ability to finish. But all in all, I thought it was a very encouraging game, and I thought it was a nice building block.
Yeah.
Short week, you know, going into the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, I kind of felt like we were kind of getting a taste of what the offense could be. And we know that the red zone is the issue, and that's what needs to be fixed. But I still feel like we were just kind of getting just a flavor of what this offense can be with Chubb and Hunt. And once those guys get going, what it can really do for the passing game with Baker. And Baker looked really sharp at times in the game. And I agree with you. It's one of his best games of the season. Best.
I agree. I mean, he probably still has some timing issues. I saw that through the game where, you know, on some plays, just the timing is just a tick off. And I still attribute a lot of that to just the familiarity, guys being comfortable with each other. Guys not trying to do too much, staying within themselves and just executing the play.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just throw this out there. I mean, if I told you after 9 games, we would have 2 guys with over 600 yards receiving, and we would have a running back with over 900 yards rushing after 9 games, you'd probably have felt pretty damn good about this offense at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, those guys, their numbers are there. The numbers are there except for the passing, receiving touchdowns. I mean,
yeah, it's just,
I would
it's
have
not
expected
turning into
maybe
points.
Maybe a couple more rushing touchdowns, but yeah.
Right.
Definitely. That's where the issue is.
Yeah, it's just having the game experience, the maturity to stay within yourself, execute plays when you need to execute them, not end up with a false start on a potential fourth down play. It's the stupid things. And again, almost no penalties. I mean, we have 4 penalties in the game, right?
4 penalties, but I think. I can't remember the total yardage, but I mean, most of it was on that pass interference,
right,
on Ward on the first play of the game. I think they had like maybe, I might be wrong, but it was like 70 yards of penalties, and that first play was like probably 50 of it or something, 45. But,
yeah.
So that was most of the penalties that one play. They only had 3 other penalties the whole game. But we're talking about penalties, Jeff. I got to bring this up real quick, and I want to get your take on it because I've been harping on this, and I'm going to keep bringing it up, that penalties are not called the same on a per-team basis in the NFL. And here's my example. I don't know if you saw any of the game last night between Seattle and San Francisco, the 49ers.
I did not.
Okay. The defenses were out there just crushing people, okay? Just good, hard-nosed football. I'm thinking, why don't the Browns play like this, you know? Well, the Browns can't play like that because here's what would happen. There was a play when Tyler Lockett of the Seahawks had the ball I don't know. I can't remember if it was a screen or a handoff behind line, you know, how he got the ball, but he got the ball and he's coming up, you know, very short gain and boom, one guy on the 49ers hits him. And then boom, another guy hits him. Both shots were helmet to helmet. No flag.
Right.
Replay. Yeah, just good hard-nosed football when it's a 49ers or a good team.
Yeah.
Okay. And the officials look the other way when it's a good team. If the Browns do that, there's more laundry on the field than you're going to need like three carts out there to pick up all the laundry. It's going to get called. Okay.
Right.
So, and again, I don't care, but I want stuff to be called consistently. And this is probably a poor week to complain about it because the Browns only had four penalties. But I just want to see stuff called consistently game to game in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess my take is again, going to another sport analogy, you know, Michael Jordan and LeBron probably never got called for traveling.
True.
When they do it all the time, right? Yeah. I mean, part of it is you earn your breaks in professional sports. You know, luck plays a role in, you know, how the ball bounces. But I think the officials certainly look closer at a team that leads the league in penalties. I don't think they're out there consciously trying to find things. For me, I think officiating is a very tough thing to do in any sport. You don't have time to think about, you know, how to play a favorite. You're just out there looking to keep the game even and you know, make good calls. But I certainly believe that when you're leading the league in penalties, you're going to get looked at by the officials with a, you know, more skeptical eye. They're going to be watching for things. It's, you know, it's like when you're a rookie, you're not going to get breaks that a vet does pretty much in any sport. You know, I think it's all part of the Browns being a young team and this lack of consistency that we've had as an organization all these years. And I guess, you know, that's what drives both of us crazy about, you know, every season we get to a point where people just start calling for people's heads and, you know, we got to blow this thing up and start. No. People, please take a breath. Okay. We've got a first year head coach who's never been a head coach at any level. Okay. There's a reason that he was hired with this team. Okay. There are a bunch of young guys on this team. We have a fairly small window with Baker being on his rookie deal. We've talked about that, right? In terms of being able to win. So we're bringing in some high priced guys to try to get us over the hump. But in reality, we're looking at year two or three of this iteration of the Browns before you really should start looking at them with that kind of a critical eye. And I just think people need to back off and give this thing time to gel. We're seeing it, you know, fits and starts, and it's maddening at times, but it takes time.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. I know you and I have, we're preaching to the choir here, but gosh, it gets so frustrating reading the same articles, you know, and hearing the same things from people.
Fire Freddy. Freddy's in over his head. Fire him. Yeah, get him out of here. Need somebody else.
Yeah.
Need somebody else.
Yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
Come on.
Just, you know, Freddy obviously understands how to play football, and I think he can call a game. Is it a big challenge to be head coach of an NFL team? Sure. And he's learning on the job. Okay. And he's going to make mistakes. But you don't fire people for making mistakes. You lose them as learning experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you know, if people don't learn and don't get better, you know, now you have to make decisions. Okay. But, you know, all of these guys are learning on the job, and hopefully we continue to see them get better. And I'd love to see it start Thursday night against the Squealers.
I would be right there with you.
Yeah.
So have you had enough time to pick out a top dog or maybe a bonehead this week?
Yeah, I can give you one of each. The top dog thing, you know, the last time I was on, I was kind of hard on Nick Chubb. He had a really good game on Sunday. Just kind of did what Nick Chubb does. I think finishing in the end zone will come with, you know, everybody executing. But again, I also think that we're going to have plenty of opportunities going forward to make Nick Chubb our top dog. So for this week, because of the unique circumstances, I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt. Guy who hasn't played football in 12 months, right?
Yeah.
You know, coming off of a hernia surgery, I think. Came in shape, came in enthusiastic, did his job, kept his mouth shut. 74 all-purpose yards, some nice averages on the ground and in the air. And I think he really gave the Bills something to think about, which is what you need to win in the NFL. You know, if you give the other team something to think about that they have to plan for and react to,
right?
That's a huge advantage. So I'm going with Kareem Hunt, top dog this week. On the bonehead side, you know, it would be easy to say Jarvis based on what we talked about before, but I can't knock him for the game he had. I got a much more obvious bonehead. And this guy frustrates the crap out of me. Antonio Callaway showed up late for the game. Got benched. I understand he's a Dorsey pick and he's going to, you know, get a lot of chances and stuff. But he's now missed 5 out of 9 games. And, you know, someone once said your best ability is availability, right? He's,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm tired of the guy myself. I would sit him for the foreseeable future. And you know, Higgins had a nice catch at the end. I'm still not sure what's going on there. You know, why he's been in the doghouse all season. But when you got two guys that are on pace for, you know, 1,000-yard seasons, if we're quibbling about the number three receiver. Yeah, I think we're in pretty good shape. Yep. The only thing I would add to that, though, is with all these receivers, and this goes specifically to Jarvis this week, but I'd love to see it from all of them. Paul Brown once said, when you get to the end zone, act like you've been there before.
Yeah. Totally agree with you there. Yeah, that drives me nuts when guys act like it's a big shock that they got to the end zone. Yeah. We're the Cleveland Browns. We're supposed to be scoring touchdowns.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on both of those guys. And yeah, I mean, you could give top dog to some other guys, but I mean, I was actually going to say Kareem Hunt. I mean, he did a lot of He blocked extremely well, in addition to the receptions and the carries. So, yeah, I mean, he was a spark, and I think his contributions they're probably only going to go up from here on out the rest of the season. Baker go, you know, for 2 touchdowns and no picks, that was definitely good to see. And, you know, Landry with a good game other than that stupid penalty. You know, I thought it was very positive on the offensive side.
Yep. And when you see all those numbers, you think, gosh, why didn't we score 30 or 40 points? That's just the missing ingredient right now.
Yeah, it's the red zone, and that's the problem. That's what they have to figure out. That's what they got to get better at. And nobody wants to hear excuses anymore. You've got all these weapons. Right. You've got to be able to get the ball in the dang end zone.
Right.
You know, and I don't care how they do it. Okay. I was out watching the game, and typically, you know, they're down there and they got Chubb lined up and Freddie's been criticized before. Well, you got Nick Chubb, you're at the 1 yard line and you pass the ball four times in a row. What the heck are you doing? So this time Freddie runs the ball, what, 15 times in a row? However many it was. it was forever, and everybody's screaming. What are you running the ball for? What are you running the ball for? I'm thinking, you got Nick Chubb. What are you criticizing him for? So Freddie can't win no matter what he does in the eyes of a lot of the fans, okay? But I agree. You have to figure out a way to get it in. And after a while, yeah, the defense knew Nick Chubb was getting the ball, and they were lined up in that, you know, all within the tackles. So it was pretty easy to diagnose and stop. But I don't care what they do. Freddie's smart enough to figure some stuff out to get the ball in from the one.
I would think with these two backs now that, you know, if you committed to the run game, it would build some confidence with your offensive line. Just going back to the Mack and Beiner days where, you know, they both had 1,000 yards, it was just feeding those guys the ball and just getting them in a rhythm every game. Right. And it developed some consistency with the offensive line, and they kind of built some confidence, and you get to the point eventually where, you know, you start dictating to the defense what you're going to do rather than just taking what the defense is giving you. And you know, now you can run those goal line plays and actually be able to get the ball in the end zone. I think I saw where, you know, it's the first time since like 1993 that a team ran 8 plays inside the 5-yard line and didn't get a touchdown or something. So
you have to really try hard
to be that bad, you know.
How far back do we have to go to find when a team ran 8 plays from the 1 yard line, didn't get a touchdown, and won the game? That's what I want to know. It's probably never happened. Right. So that's a
probably
positive.
Never.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
Positive. Okay.
Right.
So.
Yep.
So all right. Well, big game coming up Thursday. Hopefully we can even dip back to that game. Maybe when you're on next time, Jeff. And
I feel good about playing the Steelers here. You know, it's always tough going to Pittsburgh, but, you know, having them come in here in a short week, you know, hopefully building off of this game against the Bills. You know, Mason Rudolph is getting it done for them. I just think this is the opportunity for us to dictate to the Steelers for once. And looking forward to seeing it happen.
Yeah, me too. All right. Good talking to you, Jeff. And we'll catch you.
All right, Rod.
Catch you in a couple of weeks. Thanks.
Sounds good.
How are we doing tonight, Heath?
We're good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. You know, coming off a win, Browns win, you know, I've got no complaints.
No. Always good after a win. There's no better Monday than a victory Monday in Cleveland, man.
That's right.
Nothing better. And I'll tell you what else can't get any better is hitting on our bets that we did last week.
We did.
We both went 2-1 in our pick against each other. And then with my best bet I had the Browns -2.5, which was a winner. I had Arizona +4, which was a winner. And I had the Arizona game over 48.5, and it ended up going 30-27, which was 58, which was a winner. And then my only loss was I had a 3-team teaser, which was 6-point, using 6-point teasers. I had Carolina +11, which was a winner. I had the Steelers +9, which was a winner. And the only loss I had is I had 49ers even. With the guy missing the field goal in overtime, which beat me, or we'd had a perfect score there, which would have got me a 6-1 week, but I'll take a 5-2. That's a pretty good percentage when it comes to betting football.
That's not bad at all.
Nope.
See if we can. We'll see if we can add on to that this week.
I agree. Well, let's get right at it. We're going to come out this week, and I'm going to give my best bets, my underdog, my over-under, and my three-team teaser. And what I'm looking at right now in my teaser, and we're going to go six points. The Rams are given 7. And what I'm looking at there is I'm going to knock that Rams line down to 1. And we're going to take the Rams -1 at home against the Bears. The second game I'm going to put into that teaser, you've got Tampa Bay is at home against the Saints. Tampa's getting 5.5. I'm going to knock 6 onto that and get Tampa with 11. In a teaser, you always lose the half point, so never let, you know, get the half. So I'm going to go 11 there. And the other one is the Carolina Panthers. And the Carolina Panthers are at home against the Falcons, giving up 5.5. I'm going to take the Panthers with 6, so I'm going to go from -5.5 to +1. So my three-team teaser is the Rams -1, Tampa Bay +11, and Carolina +1. My over-under this week is the Bears and the Rams game. The bookies got that now at 41. I think that's actually going to drop here in the next couple days down to around 40 to 39. So I'm going to jump on it now. I'm going to take the Bears Rams game under 41. My underdog of the week, I'm going to stick with one of the teams that I had in my teaser. I love the Buccaneers at home +5.5 against the Saints. The Buccaneers always play the Saints tough. It's always a high-scoring back-and-forth game. In fact, Vegas has the over-under right now at 50.5. That's going to go up probably to 52 probably by game time. People's going to jump on that 50.5. The Saints are going to come out with fire in their eyes after that debacle at home against the Falcons, and the Buccaneers always score points at home. Jameis will probably throw 3 picks, but he'll probably have 4 touchdown passes. He's going to be a great play in fantasy this week. Jameis will be at home against the Saints. So I love, as my underdog pick this week, I love Tampa Bay +5.5 at home. My best bet of the week, I got no doubt about this. Empty the kids' college fund, go to your local window, and put it all out there. No doubt in my mind, the Carolina Panthers at home, -5.5 to the Falcons. The Falcons won their Super Bowl last week, walking into New Orleans, getting a victory there. They're not walking into Carolina and beating the Panthers this week. Mr. McCaffrey is going to roll over them. He's going to have a giant week this week, McCaffrey is. Plus, now the Panthers are established with their quarterback situation since Newton now is out for the rest of the year. So look for the Panthers to roll over the Falcons. So that's my 4 picks of the week. Best bet is Carolina -5.5. My underdog is Tampa Bay +5.5. My over-under is the Bears and Rams under 41, and my three-team teaser at a 6-point rate is the Rams -1, Tampa Bay +11, and Carolina +1 as a plane flies over. Do you hear that plane?
I can hear that plane. That's amazing.
I am right in line with Akron Canton Airport.
Excellent.
And when they come in, they buzz the house. So there we go. We got the picks plus a jet. So you can't beat that. Oh, is that an omen? The Jets?
Are you going to take the Jets game?
Oh, no. The Jets are at. Well, the Jets, since we just said the Jets, I'll tell you that game real quick. Jets are the Redskins. Jets came off a good win at home, but they played the Giants. So they're both home games. They're on the road playing the Redskins. The Redskins are -1. If I'm going to bet that game, I'm going to take the Jets and the point to win that game in Washington, because Sam Darnold, to me, not a great quarterback, but he won't kill you. The Redskins are now going with Haskins the rest of the year. He's looked rough in every single game, and I think Greg Williams' defense is going to be all over him, probably going to get two or three turnovers, which will lead to Jets points. I like the Jets in that game where somewhere around 20-16, 20-17, speaking of the Jets. But, yeah, I like them on the road this week. But, well, Rod, right now our standings between you and I, we've picked a total of 6 games. We do 3 a week. You're 3-3, and I'm 2-4. We both won 2 games this week. So let's see what we're going to do this week. You lead it off, sir.
All right. Lots of good games to pick. I'm going to start out with the Jacksonville Indy game.
Okay.
And I believe the Jags are getting 3 points in that game.
Yes, they are. Jacksonville is getting 3 at Indianapolis.
I'm going to take the 3 points and the Jags. I don't think Indy knows what they're doing. I think Jacksonville normally plays well against Indy. So I think I'm going to take that one, take the 3 points, and feel pretty good about it.
Yep, I like that. Yeah, I kind of like that myself. So all of a sudden, Indianapolis isn't playing well, and Hoyer's been quarterbacking since Brissett got hurt. They were playing a little better with Brissett, so I think they're a little off their game right now, but yeah, you never know. And T.Y. Hilton has been hurt too, so they're missing out on him. Okay, here's one for you, brother. I'm going to take the Dolphins at home plus 6 against the Bills. Miami's been playing good football the last couple weeks. They've won 2 in a row. That was a stinging loss for Buffalo Sunday in Cleveland. You had Hauschka, who's always been a good kicker, missed 2 field goals. They left out of here with a bad taste in their mouth, and now they're going to go to Miami and face a young team that is not supposed to win, that is on a 2-game winning streak, that's going to give them all they can handle. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Dolphins gave them all they could handle in Buffalo earlier this year before Buffalo came back and won at the end of the game. So I'm going to take the Dolphins plus 6.
Okay. I'm going to, let's see, in the Kansas City game against the Chargers, I think the Chargers are getting 3.5.
Yes, they are.
I'm going to take Kansas City and give the 3.5. I just think Kansas City with Mahomes back, I think they're going to just kind of keep getting stronger from here on out. So I think I feel comfortable going with KC there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the Texans plus 4 at Baltimore. I think it's going to be a back and forth game. How do you beat Baltimore? You get physical with them. Cleveland walked into Baltimore and beat them up. Physically beat them up. If you watch that game over, we were pounding them. They were after Lamar, hitting him after the throws, making their running backs pay for coming up the middle, blasting their receivers when they caught the ball. They physically beat Baltimore. Texans are a team that will physically beat you up. And I know that Baltimore has their athletic quarterback. I'll take the athletic quarterback in Houston. I'll take Deshaun Watson any day of the week. And I think, not only am I going to win this bet with the 4 points, I honestly think the Texans are going to win the game straight out.
Well, that's what we're hoping for as Browns fans.
Well, you I mean, you got it. The Ravens have been beating some good teams.
They have.
They've been playing way over their head. I don't understand it. I don't understand how they can beat Seattle and Seattle. I don't know how they beat New England, you know, in Baltimore. I just don't see the greatness of this team that is pulling out these victories. I think it's time for them to come down to earth. If you look at their schedule that's coming up, now they're going to, they really got some tough defenses. They got the Rams coming up. They got San Francisco coming up. You got the Texans coming up. You got the Browns. They're going to come to Cleveland. They've got seven games left. Honestly, I can see them going 2-5 in those last seven games, 3-4. Everybody keeps saying, oh, they're going to win 10, 11 games. I don't see it. And I think it starts this week. I think Texans go in there, not only cover the four, I think the Texans get the win.
All right. Nice pick. I am going to take the Bears plus 7 over the Rams. I just think that's too many points. I with the way the Rams are playing right now. So give me the Bears and their defense, which is coming back a little bit. And,
I almost took that one.
I just see 7 points here. It just seems like too big of a spread. So I got to take the Bears in that game.
Yeah, the only thing that scares me in that game, when you got Trubisky quarterbacking for the Bears, is that defense causing turnovers. The Rams defense getting a score off a Trubisky turnover.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, the Bears are trying to catch up, and Trubisky's having to throw the ball, and then you're talking about more turnovers. That's the only thing that scares me, because their offense just isn't very good. But the Rams have looked horrible for the last couple, 2-3 weeks. They just don't look like they've got it together. The Steelers just smothered them the other night. I mean, Cooper Kupp didn't even get a catch. Now, that's crazy. He didn't get one reception the whole game. So
that's nuts.
Yeah, they shut him down. And to me, there's something going on with the Rams. And I think their biggest problem is they're not getting any consistency out of the backfield because of the injury that Gurley has, where half the time he's playing, half the time he's not. You got a backup going. So they're not in sync. You know what I mean? They're just not getting anything going. So I think that's hurting their offense an awful lot. But that should be a nice tight game. And 41 is the over-under right now. So they're thinking it's going to be pretty low score, which I think it is too. Well, let's see here. I got one more to go. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I made a comment about the game earlier. I might as well go with it. I'm going to take the Jets and the point.
Jets plus one.
Yep, I'm going to take the Jets plus one. And I just think they're a better football team than the Redskins right now. Sometimes they don't play with it like it. But the thing is, I'm going to take the Greg Williams defense to go in there and shut down Haskins. And I believe the Jets are going to score with Darnold and he's got Robbie Anderson. He's got Le'Veon Bell. I think they're going to score. And that's why I like the Jets in that game. So to recap, old Rod there has Jacksonville plus 3, Kansas City minus 3.5, and the Bears plus 7. I took 3 dogs this week. Rod's got 2 dogs, but I got some serious dogs over here. I got the Dolphins plus 6, the Texans plus 4, and the Jets plus 1. Hopefully, we'll both go 3-0. Hopefully, we'll help people that's out there betting, give you some type of advice that'll help you make a little money this week.
As always, that sounds good to me.
What do you think about the Browns game? We can't go away without talking about that. The Browns are minus 2.5. Against the Steelers.
Well, like I talked with Jeff a little bit earlier, you like the Browns' chances better at home, and you know I think it's in a game where the Browns are going to be hopefully trying to run the ball a lot with Chubb and Hunt, and trying to keep Pittsburgh from running the ball. I like the Browns' chances, but they're going to have to be careful with the football. The Steelers' defense has been very opportunistic lately, and if it gets into a turnover battle where the Browns can't hang on to a ball, it could get ugly quickly. So the Browns have to hold on to the football. They've got to run effectively, and they've got to stop the Pittsburgh running game.
I agree 100%.
So, you know, I think the Browns are going to be able to run the ball, and you know, they did a good job of holding onto the ball last week. So hopefully they can keep doing that and keep the penalties down. I think they got a good shot. I think they got a good shot this week. And I think if we'd been talking about this game a few weeks ago, you know, regardless of the Browns record, I don't even think we would have been taking the Steelers seriously, but they've been playing some good football, some really good defense. So the game looks a little bit different now, but I still like the Browns' chances.
I think here's the two keys to win this ball game, and if they do this, they're going to win this ball game. The one key is, just like you said, we have to run a lot. We have two big bulls in that backfield now. You just run those guys. And you can throw passes to Kareem Hunt, just quick hitters to him. But you got to run. If it doesn't succeed, you still do it until you break through and start getting that yardage. You cannot get into a throwing competition with that defense with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I hate to say it, but Joe Hayden's playing like a young Joe Hayden back there. You have got to run the ball. The other key to win this game is you got to get to Mason Rudolph. You can't let him sit back there and pick you apart, because what Rudolph does is he doesn't throw the deep ball. He'll pick you apart with a little dink and dunks all over the field. If you put pressure on him and make him uncomfortable, he will make mistakes. He will throw picks. He will fumble the ball. He will fumble the ball if you put it on him. But you have to get pressure on him, and you have to run the football. You do both of those things, you should walk away with this game, and you shouldn't even be nervous about it in the fourth quarter. They got it 2.5, and they've got the over-under at 40. I think that's just about right on the over-under. I like the Browns in this game. I like the Browns 24-17.
That sounds like they win that game, so that works for me.
Yeah. And it may be a late score. I just think it's going to be nip and tuck. I just think it's going to be a nip and tuck game back and forth.
And I wouldn't expect anything less. I really wouldn't.
No, like you said, if this was 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were counting the two games against Pittsburgh as win. But Pittsburgh, you got to give them credit, man. I mean, they're just a winning organization. They lose their franchise quarterback, and James Conner's been out. Now Conner's coming back. You're going to a quarterback doesn't have a lot of experience, and they make a big trade to get Minkah Fitzpatrick, and this team is playing great football. The Browns are going to have to bring it. If they don't bring it, they're going to get ran out of off the field.
I agree with you. All right. I think we're good. I think we got all our bets in.
We did.
And we're all set. So it's been good talking to you, Big Dog. And hopefully we're going to make some people some money this week. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Browns Blitz. Remember that Clay Matthews Jr. does belong in Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We thank you all for listening to the show, and we will catch you next time.